ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's been really hard. And I think all of us just want to be able to move forward with what we think is fair and reasonable for our playing group.
That is Aussie netball star Joe Weston in tears at the height of the sports civil war of 2023. It was a season from hell for netball. A bitter pay disputes or players and management feud. A domestic team folded altogether. The chief executive departed. It was a lot. On the eve of 2024, there's a sense of renewal. Or at least we hope. What questions remain over the direction and leadership of the sport? Can new team the Mavericks succeed where defunct Collingwood failed? Who's going to win the competition? Is this the year netball gets it all together? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Brittany Carter writes on netball. She commentates on netball. If you want the inside word on netball, there is no journalist more connected. BC, the last time we spoke, the sport in Australia was enjoying great on-court success. Off-court, it was a mess. Can you just get us up to speed for those who haven't been paying attention in terms of where we are on the so-called civil war?
I can't believe it's that long that we're not spoken about netball, but here we are on the eve of a Super Netball season. The good news is that that feud was completely wrapped up in a neat little bow before Christmas last year. So the players did eventually get that 3-year revenue share model they were after. It was the very first of its kind in the sport. And so I think the term I used at the time was that Netball Australia waved its white flag and basically said the players have won this, because everything the players were looking for that they held out on giving them, they got in the end.
Now we will look forward to working with the Players Association, who I've already spoken to, and moving forward to heal the sport, which is what needs to happen.
We've also seen a bunch of administrators leave Netball Australia as well. So we know the chair, Wendy Archer, will not continue beyond her term that ends in May 2025. So they're looking for a new chair, and they're also looking for a new CEO. I think that was the biggest thing to come out of all of this, that Kelly Ryan was probably the biggest departure from Netball Australia, their chief executive, after feeling like she had kind of met the end of the sport where she felt like she couldn't take it any further. And we've also seen at least 3 board members leave. So that's the priority at the moment, getting a bit of broad renewal happening. And having spoken to the players at the Super Netball launch for this season, they seem to be in a really good place now. It's all about repairing that relationship and making sure that the players feel like they're a true partner in the game. So they're feeling pretty good about it all and hoping that netball is a lot more positive to report on from here.
I think, you know, netball's kind of had a tumultuous few years, and it really is a sport that I'm so passionate about. It's a sport that I've played ever since I was a 6-year-old girl, and there's such a massive netball community out there. So I think for us it's, you know, getting back on that really exciting page, attracting new fans, getting people down to watch it. It is so much faster and so much more physical in real life.
It would seem to me as though we're entering a period of rehab of this relationship between administrators and players. But it's hard to rehab a relationship when one party kind of isn't there. As you've touched on, we're in something of a leadership vacuum. Chair Wendy Archer announced she's stepping down in May. The chief executive, Stacey West, is just an interim right now. Can we expect growth without leadership? Can we expect healing without leadership?
Yeah, well, at this stage, Netball Australia hasn't put a timeline on when they're going to appoint the new CEO, but we do know that Stacey West has applied. So she's interested in taking it on full time. She came from a position in the high performance side of things with the Diamonds. And so she has quite a good relationship with the players in that sense. They know who she is. When I was watching the body language between the players and Stacey at the Super Netball launch, it all seemed to be pretty friendly. So the only thing I think I mentioned at the time, last time we spoke, is that Stacey West was probably part of that whole holding the Diamonds to make sure that they came to the Netball Australia Awards. Having spoken with her, she understands that netball needs to turn a new leaf, and whether she is the right person for the job, I think, is a big question. But you make a good point there. Without that leadership figure, how do we move forward? It'll be interesting to see how that all occurs, but it does seem like people are pretty keen to move on from this now. So, yeah, as I said, hopefully it's a lot more positive this year.
if management are now trying to win back the support of the players, the sport is trying to win back the love of the fans who had to be disenchanted with the mess of 2023, how does netball win back its core fans?
Just focusing on the amazing athletes that we have in this sport. I mean, we have a team that has won the Netball World Cup 12 times. We have the world's best league here right now in Super Netball about to start.
Yeah, we're always wanting to, I think, grow the game of netball, you know, diversify. I feel like we've sort of traditionally been targeting like really young fans, but, you know, I have loved going to sport my entire adult life, and I feel like we've really brought that fun element with some of our Saturday night games. So we're really trying to, I think, you know, target new fans.
Everyone looks to Australia to see how we set an example, and if netball can really, I guess, start to give some love back to those athletes and promote them and the great role models that they are, instead of trying to tear them down as they did throughout the whole saga of the CPA dispute, I think that's probably the best start, right? I mean, many other countries around the world be looking to us and envious of the position that we're in Australia, knowing that it is still the number one women and girls sport here in the country.
It's semi-professional anymore. Like, so you can't expect girls who are being a full-time doctor and also trying to be a full-time netballer to be able to put out performances week in, week out. Like, that is impossible. I did it for 2 years as a teacher. I can tell you it's impossible.
I think what this new leadership needs to do is just make sure that they understand how big a stakeholder the players are in the game and that they are pivotal to the growth of the sport worldwide.
Super Netball has a brand new shiny team with the Melbourne Mavericks replacing the now extinct Collingwood Magpies. Why is it crucial that this team works, and how are you feeling about their chances, Britt?
Yeah, it was devastating to see the Collingwood Magpies depart last year, and so we don't want to see that happen again. We want people to see netball as a viable product and something that they are going to invest and get some commercial return from. And so to see a team like Collingwood fold was not good for netball's reputation. So we need the Melbourne Mavericks to do really well.
Yeah, I think everyone's really excited. Obviously, the way that Collingwood exited the competition was quite hard. So the netball community is certainly going to wrap their arms around Mavericks a little bit.
Commercially, they seem to be on track. They have a lot of sponsors. Like, looking at their dress compared to everyone else's at the launch, I think they've crammed in every single logo into a piece of the fabric that they could. They have way more sponsors on the dress than anyone else does. It's really tough in that Melbourne market, knowing that you're coming up against a Melbourne Vixens who have been around a very long time. They're a foundation club. They've had a lot of success in the past. So there is a real stranglehold on the market there for the Vixens with Victorian netball fans. And so it's tough to come up against them and try and create your own fellowship and sell memberships, because that's how these clubs generate money: bums on seats, the ticket sales, and also with the membership. So they're going to have to try and get people on board really quickly. And if it's not through the success that they can get when it comes to making finals and all of that jazz, then it's going to have to be through the storytelling of the players and really connecting with the community. However, I am really worried about how they will perform this year, because they've copped two major injuries in this preseason. They've seen Sasha Glasgow go down, one of their starting shooters, with a compound fracture to the leg. And we've also seen Laura Moore out for the season now with an ACL injury that she sustained at the Team Girls Cup.
13 seconds and Laura Moore comes through. Stizzy? We see Laura Moore. She's just gone down in the background. She flew through and looks like she's holding that right knee.
That's worrying, knowing that they're not going to have that experience in that inaugural year when things are so crucial.
So if we're worried about the Mavericks, who are we excited about? Who do you see as the contenders and why?
If I was to take a punt at which two teams would be playing the grand final at the end of this year, for me it would be the New South Wales Swifts or the Sunshine Coast Lightning. The New South Wales Swifts were runners-up last year. They had an excellent season and they lost the grand final to the Thunderbirds by just one goal in extra time. So they came as tight as they bloody could to winning another premiership and just missed out. And you can imagine how much they've been stewing about that in the off-season and how they want to correct that. They're the team that actually hasn't had as much movement of all the eight sides. throughout the off-season. They've pretty much kept the same squad they've always had. So watching them at the Team Girls Preseason Cup, it was really interesting seeing how that benefited them because all their connections are solid.
Seeing this with the Swifts, that anytime they make a move, it is seamless.
It's like muscle memory to them, these connections. It's not like starting fresh with some new players in there. So I think knowing that they've won the Team Girls Cup, they were runners-up last year, they look to be in really good form, they're going to be definitely a team to watch. And the Sunshine Coast Lightning are a team that everyone is so excited about this year. If it's not the Mavericks, I think it's the Lightning that people are gunning for, because in the off-season they were able to lure Diamonds captain Lizzie Watson from the Vixen. She'd been there almost 10 years at that club. And the same goes with Courtney Bruce. She was the captain of the West Coast Fever and she's come across to play in the yellow dress. So they've now got four Diamonds in that lineup with Kara Konnen and Steph Wood added. And, you know, knowing that all those four players were part of the World Cup winning team in Cape Town just last year, that puts a big target on their back and a lot of expectation, knowing that they have some of the very best players in the world in that side now. So I think it will be Lightning and Swifts there at the end.
You spoke a little bit about the Diamonds there. Let's dig in there, because they're fresh off an astonishing year of success. What's their agenda and priorities for 2024? I mean, they're always expected to win, but this is, you know, also a season potentially for development, given the World Cup is all the way in 2027.
Yeah, so we're 3 years away from Sydney hosting that World Cup. I think the big talking point about the Diamonds at the moment is their aging midcourt. So in the shooting end and in the defensive end, we're covered for experience and a lot of the young guns coming through. But when it comes to the midcourt, we have got some players kind of in the twilight of their careers. I mean, they could still play for another, I don't know, 10 years in club lands. But when it comes to the demands of that international circuit, we could potentially see some retirements at the end of this 2027 World Cup in that midcourt as well. So I think that's probably going to be a priority for head coach Stacey Marinkovic, if not now, then the next cycle of the World Cup, because they're going to need to bring some new faces in there. And at this stage, they've been reluctant to do so. They've stuck with the tried and tested players that they know can perform. And that's, you know, brought us a lot of success. So it's been the right thing to do. I just think looking forward to the future, we have to be prepared for what's to come. And so we're going to need some new faces in that midcourt in particular.
2024, I'm hoping it's the year netball pulls it all together. Brittany Carter, thanks so much for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Headlines. The Boomers have named their provisional 22-man squad for the Olympics, and there's no Ben Simmons. Back surgery last month has ensured the former number one draft pick won't be heading to Paris. The remaining NBA cohort, including Josh Giddey, Joe Ingles, Patty Mills and Josh Green, among others, will be left to fight it out with other elite players from around the globe for the 12 positions available in Paris as Australia seeks to challenge for a medal. Speaking of the Olympics, World Athletics has announced a $50,000 payment for gold medalists at the 2024 Games. That makes track and field the first sport to introduce prize money, though many countries have financial incentives on top of that. Unfortunately, no cash for silver and bronze until the LA Games. Bad luck. Ricky Fowler. Have you heard of him? He's known for being the only golfer to embrace the flat brim hat. He's come second at three of the four majors now. He has won at Augusta. Kinda. He won the traditional warm-up comp, the par three contest. Hey, I'd take it. Well done, Ricky. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Fox Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.